one scripture with another. So listen to 31, verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. And the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Now, chapter 32. And look at verse 44. And Moses came and spake all these words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea, the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said unto them, he finishes speaking these words. Now, verse 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, Get thee up into the mountain of Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people, because ye trespassed against me in the midst of the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah, of Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. For thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither into the land which I give the children of Israel. Now, chapter 34, verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the hinder sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab over against Beth-Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping in the mourning for Moses were ended. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful that we are able to read the lives of those with whom you have had dealings in the past, and have been able to learn from their lives things that would be impossible without bitter disappointment in our own lives. Our Father, we thank you for these records of the saints of God and the way thou didst deal with them. We are thankful especially for Moses, the servant of God, the man of God. We thank you for these passages that we've read about him tonight. Indeed, we pray that they shall edify our hearts. Let us know that there is more concerning him in this Pentateuch than any other man. And yet, Father, his life now comes to an end, and we desire to learn some lessons from his service and then his death in this portion that we've read. So bless us, we pray. Our Father, let us know for any mercy drops that have fallen. We've been appreciative. We would pray for more. We would pray, our God, for some to come that could help us and strengthen us. We are so glad for all that will come. But we pray, our Father, that as your Son spoke about, pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into the harvest. Our Father, send us some, but then those that can labor and serve thee and can function as priests and glorify thee and worship thee and remember thy Son. You're able to do this, so let us not lose faith, but as you say in your word, you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So give us that patience. Our Father, you know our sins. Forgive them. Cleanse us from them. Let us know how they destroy us and make us miserable. But our God, you are able to cleanse and forgive. And we are so glad of that. We remember what your Son said. Now are you clean because of the word which I have spoken unto thee. We are so glad that you are a God who can cleanse from sin. And our Father, prepare hearts and empower lips and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The start of all this was at the beginning of the month, and it was entitled, The Death of a Family. Not a death in the family, but the death of a family. And we discovered that this family is that of Amram and Jochebed. And God tells us they had three children. They had an older girl named Miriam, and next they have a son named Aaron, and then they had a son named Moses. Who named Moses? Who pulled him out of the bulrushes? What does Moses mean? Well, you think on that, and then you'll be able to find out who named him. But we have three children, and I started the first week, and the three deaths of these children of Amram and Jochebed all occur, two of them actually, and one of them potentially, in Numbers chapter 20. Miriam died in the 40th year, in the first month of that year, and inasmuch as Aaron, her younger brother, was 123, we figured that maybe she was 126 or 130 years of age. So, she lived to be a good old age, and she died. And so think now that when Miriam died, there was no telling of the death that was coming upon her, but she died like other people die. They know not when they die. And when she died, Moses and Aaron can comfort one another. If you have two brothers and their sister dies, then they are able to comfort one another. So Miriam died and was buried. Then, 5 months later, Aaron, at 123 years of age, he dies. And when he dies, there is comfort in his death for this reason. If you had your brother, and if you had your son, your oldest son with you when you died, that would be comforting. Your brother and your son. And to know that your death was to occur because God had decreed it at this time and at this place, then there would be some consolation in that. So, when Aaron dies, he's not alone. He and Eleazar, his son, and Moses, his brother, go up Mount Hor, and on top of that mount, he dies. And then, it simply says that Moses and Eleazar come down from the mountain. The death of Moses is unique in this respect. When Moses dies, there is no one that goes with him up the mountain to comfort him in his death. God says to him in chapter 32, verse 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, Get thee up into this mountain of Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, which is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto thee, the children of Israel, for a possession, and die in the mount, whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. But now, think of this. Moses, unlike Miriam, who would be surrounded with the children of Israel, unlike Aaron, who had Moses and his son Eleazar with him when he died, God said, You come up into this mountain alone. And when you get there, you may look and see the promised land, and then you're going to die. And so he died completely alone. Think of that. In one sense, that's good. I do not care if anybody is with me when I die, if God has invited me and is talking with me when I die. So that's the consolation. If you die alone and God is silent, as the Lord Jesus says in his prayer, Why art thou so silent, O my God? Why are you so far from me in the words of my roaring? But in this case, even though Moses is alone, God is with him in the mount. Moses has been with God in the mount from the very first. He went into Mount Sinai with God to receive the Ten Commandments. So this is no new experience. But what he experienced at the beginning of his ministry for God, he now experiences again at the end. All right. Remember, he goes up, climbs the mountain, and God shows him all the promised land. I've had something of an experience like this, because when we go up around Asheville and or Maggie Valley, up in the mountains, there was a mountain we used to climb every year called Cataluchi. And you would climb and climb and climb, and finally, when you would get to the top, you would look in the distance and you would see the cities round about you. You would look all around and you would see other mountains. The view was magnificent. And it was exhilarating to have that view from the mountaintop and see all these places round about you. But now, think of this, that the vantage point that was given Moses, he is able to go up, and those who have traveled in the Holy Land tell us that you can see far better there than you can here. I know there's haze at times in the mountains, fog, but they said it is so clear that you can see distances that are unimaginable. And so God tells Moses, Now look. And he shows him all these places that the children of Israel are going to possess. He says, This is the land that I promised unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob. He says, And now they're going in that promised land. Keep this in mind, that it would seem as if the promise that God made to Abraham at the first was never going to be fulfilled. He was 75 years old, and God said, You're going to have a son, and then he waited until he was 86 years old, and he had no son, and then he waited 13 more years until he was 99 years old, and then God finally, when he reached 100, gave him a son. So it looked as if he weren't going to have a son, but he had a son. And then Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And then Jacob had a multitude of sons. And now, here is the nation of Israel, ready to go into the promised land. But Moses cannot go into the promised land. Miriam could not go into the promised land. Aaron could not go into the promised land. Why? As for Miriam, even though we're not told anything about it, evidently there was no strong protestations on her part when the spies came back and said, there are giants in the land. We can't conquer these people. Now, when Joshua and Caleb rose up, and when Moses and Aaron fell before God, then that ensured them the possibility of going into the promised land. But it says nothing about Miriam. And because of that, she falls in the category of those who are 20 years old, above 20 years of age, that are going to die and not going to the promised land. And so finally, and I think of the goodness of God, they could have died any time after that. He didn't say they were going to live 40 years. He said, you're not going into the promised land, and the longest time they could live would be 40 years. And so God lets Miriam live after that, the longest length of time. She dies in the first month of the 40th year. And Aaron, God lets him live 5 months after the 40th year. The 40th year and the 5th month. Now, tell me, in what month did Moses die in the 40th year? Well, turn to Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy 1. And notice how I phrase it after I read this verse. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1. These are the words which Moses spake unto all Israel beyond the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the Arabah, over against Suk, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and thy Zahab. It is 11 days journey, so and so. Verse 3. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month. You say, I see. So it means that Moses lived till at least the 11th month, yes, and I looked to see if it mentioned his living to the 12th month, but I can't tell you that for sure. However, he well could have lived that long, which means that God let him live to the very limit of the judgment that was passed upon them. The 40th year, the 12th month. We know that he died sometime after the arrival of the 11th month in the 40th year. And this is what is so remarkable, that when this time comes, think now, the 11th month, the first day of the month. Now, this is what has to happen. Look in chapter 31, verse 30. And Moses spake in the ears of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were finished. You'll find that Moses reviews, he exhorts, he has to do more writing, and then he has to teach them this song to encourage them and keep them from sin when they go into the promised land. He does all of this, but instead of saying, well, look, this is the last month of my life, can't I be freed from responsibilities? Moses is faithful in all God's house, and he's not looking for freedom in the last month of his life, but what he is doing is seeking to ensure the longevity of the children of Israel and to ensure that when they get in the promised land, they are not going to fall by the wayside. Now, this is another mark of commendation for Moses, that he would work so hard to do all in his power the last month of his life to ensure blessing for the children of Israel. And here we are, and for that reason, at times it might be good if we knew that our end was near. When are you going to die, do you know? You say, well, perhaps 20, 40 years, 50 more from, well, then you have ever so much time to do what you're going to do for God. But what if God said you're going to die within 30 days? Then you would have to do something. You would have to get busy if you were ever going to fulfill those commitments and carry out those resolutions that you had made to God. And so here is Moses in the 11th month, and he knows that the 40 years are going to be ended, and so Moses has just this month, and he works as hard as he ever has. And then, after he gets through speaking all these words, it says, Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto Mount Nebo. Now think of that. Here is a man, 120 years of age, and God says, you come climb up this mountain. You say, that's impossible. Yes, it would be, except for this. I'll read two verses to you. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. So, his eye was not dim, and therefore, when he was on that mountain, he could see with great clarity all of the promised land. And at the same time, it says, his natural force was not abated. He had strength. He could climb that mountain. No difficulty to Moses. But here is why I want you to look at chapter 31. Look back there. 31, verse 2. 31:2. And Moses said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. And the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. So think of that. He says, I can no more go out and come in. For the first time in his whole life, he feels natural weakness coming upon him. This is something that he had never experienced before, but in God's grace, God sustained him the last day of his life to climb up that mountain. And so, concerning his whole life, it says his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And this is what God did to Moses. As for the children of Israel, God did things for their feet. He fed them with manna from heaven. He kept their feet from swelling. God worked miracles with them. But in the case of Moses, he gave him this supernatural strength and vision and understanding to deal with the children of Israel. But now, he feels this weakness, and God says, it's time for you to die. All right, think now. And I wondered, when God takes him and he shows him, this is what is so beautiful. It says, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead, that God and Moses are there. Remember, here is God with Moses in a similar way as God was with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And so God is walking with them in the cool of the evening, and now God is with Moses on the mountaintop. That is what is so remarkable. And God is talking to him. And so this is a magnificent way to die. To be having a conversation with your God, and for God to be pointing out to you, giving a travel log, pointing out the different places that he's going to give to the children of Israel. And this is what he does for Moses. Now, he says, I have caused you to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And so I'm wondering what happened. Moses has been pointed out by God this promised land, and he's looking at it, and then he's seen it all. And perhaps God says, Moses, now you come and see where I live. And then Moses falls down dead, and his spirit goes to be with his God. And so that is the way to die. And if I know that, if, as in the case of Stephen, I'm so glad for instances like these. He saw the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. If when I die, I can see the heavens open and my Savior at the right hand of God, then you can laugh at death and say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And if at the same time, when I am to die, the last day of my death, God is there with me, talking to me, showing me things of the future that the people of God are to enjoy in coming days, I can't think of a better way to die. And then it says, he died at the command of God. I like so much these words, at God's command, but it literally says this, he died at the mouth of God. God said something. And when he said it, Moses died. I have examples like this. I remember the two witnesses in Revelation 11, and they were dead, and God said to them, come up hither. And so, I'm wondering if God said, Moses, come up hither, except Moses is not dead and needing to experience resurrection, but he still could say to him, come up hither. But God spoke the word. God commanded the word. And remember this portion of scripture in Daniel chapter 5. It speaks about the God in whose hand thy breath is. And as long as God lends you that breath, you will live. And when God takes that breath back, then you're going to die. And so Moses, whose natural strength was not abated, his eye was not dimmed, God says, all right, I'm taking all that back. And so Moses dies, but the transition is so simple and it means absolutely nothing to God. We are so affrighted of death. It's so mysterious, we don't know. But understand that this is nothing with God. God is God of the dead and of the living. The Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of the dead and of the living. For all live unto him. Yes, they all live unto him. Then, even though they're dead, they live unto him. They are alive. And this is what God would have us to understand. And our lives and our breath is in God's hand. And as long as God keeps it there, we are invincible. Think of this. I have a mission for you, Moses. It's going to occupy 40 years. But I'm 80 years old now. It doesn't matter. It's going to occupy 40 years. I don't know if I can last that long. You will last that long. Why? He had told him at the first that he could have done much more for him than he did. He said, now I want you to speak to the children of Israel. And Moses said, oh, I haven't been an eloquent man, neither here before nor since you called me. God said, who made a man's mouth? Who made a man deaf or seeing or blind or hearing? Did not I, the Lord? But he said, all right, I'll appoint Aaron your brother. And so now, here is Moses, and as long as God wants to give him natural strength, unabated, and keenness of vision, for the 40 years that he's going to serve God, this is nothing to God. And remember, all of us are excited about leaving this world and going into the next, but to God, it's nothing. He just says, Moses, you come up here with me now and stay where I am until the resurrection of the dead. And this is what happened. So here is Moses, and Moses was alone with God. Think, he's on the mountain, and only God and Moses are there. And he dies, and there is not another death anywhere in Scripture like unto Moses. Because it says, God buried him. God prepared his grave and placed him in that grave. And nobody else has ever had God to bury them except Moses. Moses has that distinct honor of having God as his undertaker, taking care of his body, whereas his soul, just as in the case of the Lord Jesus and the case of Stephen, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So, God takes care of souls in his realm of existence. But in this case, the body that had served God so long, and now Moses understands how weak and how without strength that body would be unless God gave him supernatural strength. Now, that body dies, and God honors that body with the burial himself. But now, here is something that is remarkable, something that makes not Moses alone on the mount, but there were others there as well. And turn to the book of Jude, right next to Revelation in the New Testament. Jude, verse 9. But Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." So, now I understand that there were two more people there when Moses died. If not there, when he died, immediately afterwards, there was Michael the archangel and Lucifer, the son of the morning. That was his name before he fell, and now he's Satan. And so think of that. And so God is the one who is going to bury the body of Moses, and it may be this. I may have told you wrong, but it says he buried him, and you take it in a straightforward way, it means God buried him, but it may mean that God buried him through the instrumentality of Michael, the archangel. And for that reason, Satan wants that body of Moses, and Michael, the archangel, he is the closest in power and dignity to Satan. He says to him, "The Lord rebuke thee." And when he says that, then the body of Moses is buried. Verse 6. And he buried him at Deuteronomy 34:6, and he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. So he's buried by God, either God directly, or God through the instrumentality of Michael, the archangel. And then it says, nobody knows where he was buried. So when it says, "The Lord rebuke thee," evidently, Satan would have to be driven away, or he would know where the body of Moses was. But he is taken care of, and the body of Moses has a burial the way that God wanted him buried, and for a reason that I cannot tell you with certainty, God said, "I do not want anybody to know where the body of Moses is buried." Some say, why, it's because, just like that brazen serpent, they would go and worship, they would get their eyes. I can't tell you why, but I know this, that God did not want the people to know where the body of Moses was buried. And because of that, he himself had it buried, and nobody was around. And Michael the archangel contends with Satan over the body of Moses, and he prevails by saying, "The Lord rebuke thee," and then Moses' body is buried. Now, how remarkable, for this reason, when Miriam died, she was buried, and the people knew where the body was. When Aaron died, he was buried, and Moses and Eleazar came down, and they could say about the death of Aaron. They could give the information. But in the case of Moses, he went up by himself, and he never came back. And nobody ever saw his dead body, and nobody ever saw his grave. And that's the way that God wanted it. And so they see him go up, and he does not come down. And so they understand that he's dead. Somehow God let the children of Israel know. And it says they mourned for Moses 30 days. So the days of weeping in the mourning for Moses were ended. And this, look at verse 10. It says, "And there hath not arisen a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all the mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses wrought in the sight of all Israel. Never a prophet before or after, until the Lord Jesus Christ came upon the scene. The death of Moses, no death like it before, no death like it since. And nobody knows where his grave is to this day. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the comfort that you give us, inasmuch as you are the God who can sustain life as long as you want to. And you are the God who can take away life whenever you want to. And you are the God who brought man into existence by saying, let there be life, by breathing into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so you can make man and impart life to him. And when he dies, you can cause that dust to be raised from the dead and give him a glorified body. We are thankful of that. We are so glad to know that, our God. So let us not fear. Let us remember that if we have things to do, that you can sustain us until what time our tasks are done. And then let us remember not to fight against thee, but if there is weakness and failing of natural strength, let us remember that you are he who would let us know about our weakness and our frailty. We are thankful for you, our God, and all the things that thou hast taught us. We are glad that you are able to keep us in our home down here. We are glad that you told us about a home you have up there, in my Father's house, on many mansions. We are so glad, our Father, that thy Son hath gone to prepare a place for us. And as Moses has been with you since that day, so, Father, thy Son, when we die, we will be with him until that day when we are raised from the dead. So let the fear of death, let its mystery be taken away from us, and let us understand how straightforward it is when God, the creator of heaven and earth, the sustainer of life, the one who raises the dead, let us understand and accept it, Father, and be not afraid. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.